VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And we're kind of turning things in a topsy-turvy way a bit here this week, as we're going to start our week with a news roundup talking about a number of issues that have gone on over the weekend and through last week as well. Several issues perhaps you've not been made aware of. Some perhaps you are, but maybe with a little bit more information or some behind-the-scenes look at matters here. So thank you for staying tuned here to Crosstalk on VCY America. Well, from FoxNews.com, another Austin explosion, possibly triggered by a tripwire. Two people injured on bicycles last night. Police frantically are working to determine if the blast is linked to the package bombings, three of them that have gripped the Texas Capitol in fear. Well, the latest blast occurred about 8:30 last evening. It was a suburban neighborhood, and they were not really sure what caused it at the point of the story, saying if this explosion was a result of a bomb using tripwire technology that is showing a different level of skill above that we were already concerned about with the suspect or that the suspects may possess. They were working police with the belief that the explosions were related to the others. A serial bomber, though, here today is being reported as being responsible for these four explosions in Austin. The Austin police chief, Brian Manley, said today at a news conference that although the bomb injured two men on Sunday night was linked to the three other blasts, the latest bomb involved a tripwire, while the previous explosions were package bombs left on people's doorsteps. But very concerned at this point as to this matter. Matter of fact, NBC News reports that people were told to stay in your homes, and they were not even going to send out school buses into the neighborhood today. Very interesting indeed. Also very interesting that developed on Friday as well as or over the weekend. We had President Trump calling Andrew McCabe a choir boy as he lauded the former acting FBI director's firing, suggesting multiple federal reports show corruption at the highest level. McCabe was fired just days before he would have been eligible for a lifetime pension after it was determined that he lied to investigators reviewing the Bureau's probe of Hillary Clinton's email server reports. Fox News, pursuant to Department Order 1202 and based on the report of the Inspector General, the findings of the FBI Office of Professional Responsibility and the recommendations of the department's senior career official, he said, I have determined that the employment of Andrew McCabe effective immediately. He was terminating it. That was a statement that came out from Secretary Sessions. Also, as Fox reported, newly fired FBI official Andrew McCabe kept personal memos similar to those compiled by James Comey on interactions with President Donald Trump, who axed Comey as FBI director. The memo disclosure on Saturday, confirmed to Fox News by a source close to McCabe, comes after the one-time FBI deputy director was fired by Jeff Sessions. McCabe gave us a copy of the memo to special counsel Robert Mueller. Also very interesting from Rick Manning from Citizens for Limited Government. He said McCabe's firing was recommended by the FBI's Internal Career Civil Office, the Civil Service Office that was run, the Office of Professional Responsibility, and the Attorney General acted accordingly. The Office of Professional Responsibility has been run by Robin Ashton, who was appointed to the post in 2010 by former Attorney General Eric Holder. And Eric Holder had uplifted her, saying this is a career, a veteran career prosecutor. Robin is uniquely qualified to serve as counsel for professional responsibility. I'm confident that she will lead in the office with the highest standards of professionalism, integrity, and dedication. Well, the Washington Post reported March 14th the recommendation that the FBI office that handles employee discipline has recommended firing the Bureau's former deputy director over allegations that he authorized the disclosure of sensitive information to a reporter and misled investigators when asked about it, leaving Attorney General Jeff Sessions to decide whether he should fire the veteran official just 4 days before his expected retirement date, people familiar with the matter said. It was not a political firing, but instead McCabe was let go because career civil servants recommended it, one that was appointed by Eric Holder. And given the high esteem that Holder obviously held the person he hired to run that office, no one should be able to claim anything else. Very interesting indeed. Regarding the firing of McCabe, we understand he had moved up. He's a young man yet, only going to be completing 20 years, and certainly had many more years before him. But when certainly it appears that when investigations were getting pretty hot and heavy, that he moved up his retirement significantly. This coming from Breitbart, former CIA director John Brennan reacted to the firing of McCabe by tweeting a strident attack against President Trump, saying, "When the full extent of your venality, moral turpitude, and political corruption becomes known, you will take your rightful place as a disgraced demagogue in the dustbin of history. You may scapegoat Andy McKay, but you will not destroy America. America will triumph over you." That was a tweet that was put out by Brennan. It confirmed what President Trump has been saying all along, that the senior leadership of the intelligence and federal law enforcement services has become highly, highly politicized. Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch, he said that Attorney General Sessions did the right thing in firing McCabe for repeatedly making statements to investigators that lack candor. The FBI is not above the law. Mr. McCabe's dishonesty taints both the Clinton email inquiry and Russian collusion investigating target President Trump, including the Mueller operation. Mr. McCabe should have been ousted from the FBI many years ago when Judicial Watch first revealed a clear conflict of interest scandal involving his wife's political campaign. Unfortunately, the FBI and DOJ are still withholding the text messages, though, of McCabe. The McCabe firing further shows a need for a full investigation of the numerous anti-Trump and other outrageous FBI abuses under Obama and McCabe's mentor, James Comey. Well, it's also interesting to know that though he has lost his pension because he was fired days before he reached 20 years of service, Democratic congressmen appear to be lining up to come to his rescue. There's Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, Seth Moulton of Massachusetts. On Saturday, Pocan offered the former FBI man under pension rules to offer him a job that would extend his federal government service for at least the presumably required few days. "Said my offer of employment to McCabe is a legitimate offer to work on election security," Pocan told reporters. "Free and fair elections are the cornerstone of American democracy." Yeah, and so Mr. Pocan is lining up. We also have Andrea Mitchell tweeting out the possibility of McCabe getting a job, and others as well. From FoxNews.com, the White House announced Sunday that it intends to seek the death penalty for certain drug traffickers where appropriate under the law in a bid to slow down the country's opioid epidemic. The White House also said that President Trump would call on Congress to pass legislation lowering the amount of drugs that would invoke mandatory minimum sentences for traffickers. The Justice Department said the federal death penalty is available for several limited drug-related offenses, including violation of the drug kingpin provisions of federal law. From the Hill, the Trump administration is putting pressure on Senate Republicans to crack down on Democratic efforts to delay its agenda, fueling talk about the need for rules reform among Republicans on Capitol Hill. Republicans are in discussion with Democrats about bipartisan changes to Senate rules to speed up consideration of President Trump's judicial and executive branch nominees. But if that effort flounders, as similar ones have in the past, they're not ruling out unilateral action. White House Legislative Affairs Director Mark Short on Friday accused Senate Democrat leader Charles Schumer of weaponizing the rules to keep executive and judicial branch positions vacant. Democrats have required, listen to this, Democrats have required Republicans to hold 79 cloture votes on nominees during Trump's first 14 months in office. 79 cloture votes. That's roughly five times the number of the last four administrations combined, Short said. During the first 14 months of the past four administrations, a span of 56 months under Presidents Obama, George W. Bush, Clinton, and George H.W. Bush, the Senate held 17 such votes. 17 under four administrations, and now that has jumped to 79 just for President Trump himself. Short said that he promised that President Trump would begin to speak out aggressively in response to what he called historic obstruction. Short told reporters that Trump would make his case to the American people that the objection has, obstruction has gotten ridiculous. The Washington Times reporting that the federal government may soon get an ally in its battle with California over its sanctuary laws. According to a report in the Orange County Register, the city of Los Alamitos will vote Monday, that's today, on an ordinance to exempt itself from Senate Bill 54, that's the California Values Act, which limits cooperation between law enforcement and immigration authorities. The ordinance says the state sanctuary law violates the U.S. Constitution, and thus the council finds it's impossible to honor our oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States if the state law applies in the city. The mayor and city council members told the Register that they were leaning toward passing the ordinance. Coming to us from Judicial Watch, less than a year after Baltimore prosecutors offered staff not to charge, they ordered their staff not to charge illegal aliens with minor nonviolent crimes because it could get the offenders deported. Now Maryland's largest city will hire immigration attorneys to help those facing removal. It's important to note that the Baltimore has the highest, this is interesting, it has the nation's highest per capita homicide rate. It's been coined the deadliest big city in the United States by a mainstream newspaper. Nonetheless, a city panel approved spending $200,000 this month to pay for lawyers to represent illegal aliens with deportation orders. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh says at a local news report that the goal is for everyone to get due process, saying we're not making a decision as to their status. We're making the decision to be supportive of individuals who live in our city. So think about it, folks. A city with the highest per capita murder rate has started a defense fund for illegal aliens and charging the citizens of the city to pay for it through their taxes. Oh, azcentral.com from Arizona. President Donald Trump last Tuesday stood alongside the prototypes of the wall on the U.S. border with Mexico, the first tangible steps toward fulfilling one of the most popular and persistent campaign promises. The president said, if you don't have a wall system, we're not going to have a country. The president said he preferred a wall design that allowed border control agents to see through the barrier. He said, you have to know what's on the other side of the wall. You can be 2 feet away from a criminal cartel and you don't even know that they are there. The president said he also preferred the taller wall, saying that they acted as a deterrent to people crossing illegally, whom he compared to professional mountain climbers. So more movement on the wall. Also coming to us from WesternJournal.com, the Trump administration made a voluntary payment of $151,470 to the Department of the Treasury to keep a promise that the company would not benefit from foreign government payments while Donald Trump is president. The check represents the net profits the Trump organization made from doing business with foreign leaders for Trump's first year in office. Eric Trump, executive vice president of the company, told the UK Daily Mail. So whereby his organization, the Trump organization, had profits come in like a Trump International Hotel in D.C. or the place in Palm Beach, Florida. He's made voluntary payments now to the Department of the Treasury to keep his promise. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult tasks, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and this week it's a news roundup on Monday as we're talking about a number of issues that have gone on. Last Friday, of course, attorney Matt Staver was with us here on Crosstalk, and just a reminder, tomorrow I believe it's 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 Central, in which the case will be heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, the case NIFLA versus Becerra, one of the four cases brought by crisis pregnancy centers that are challenging this California law as a violation of the First Amendment. This was a law that basically was telling crisis pregnancy centers, you've got to put posters up, these large signs, big font, telling women where they can go get an abortion. Now, there was no such law for abortion centers to tell women where they could go have their baby saved, just against pro-life centers. So this case goes before the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow, and as we've mentioned previous, please be praying for this case. On Friday, we understand that the justices will be convening together to, in essence, vote what is their opinion on this. And depending on who's in the majority, they will write the majority opinion, the minority writing the minority opinion. We likely will find out in late June as to how they what their opinion was on the issue. But folks, we need to continue to be praying for those that are representing life tomorrow before the U.S. Supreme Court. Turning to some other news, Washington Free Beacon, President Trump's coming tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum imports are the first step in targeting China's unfair trade practices, according to a senior White House trade official. The next phase in the presidential's bid to level the international playing field on trade will be pushing Beijing for illicit intellectual property theft, seeking legislation to impose greater reciprocity in trading practices. The new White House national security strategy facilitated the get tough approach by designating China as a strategic rival. China is engaged in a systematic effort to advance their economic interests at the expense of the United States and other nations, the Free Beacon reports. Interesting story coming out from the New York Post. A Democratic congressman from Long Island implied that Americans should grab weapons and oppose President Trump by force if the commander-in-chief doesn't follow the Constitution. Representative Tom, who I believe it's Susie, made the remark to constituents at a town hall last week, saying that folks opposed to Trump might resort to the Second Amendment, saying it's really a matter of putting public pressure on the president, he said in a released video at the March 12th talk in Huntington. The video is incredibly disturbing. It's surreal to watch a sitting member of Congress suggesting that his constituents should take up arms against the president of the United States, said National Republican Campaign Committee spokesman Chris Martin. The congressman, political advisor Kim Devlin, denied that the politician was advocating for armed insurrection. Troubling story from the Daily Wire. Last Wednesday, the acting FBI Deputy Director David Bowditch testified during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing that former President Barack Obama's Department of Justice forced the FBI to delete over 500,000 fugitives who had outstanding arrest warrants from the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, the NICS system. 500,000 fugitives to be deleted from that database. I wonder what the purpose of that was. Interesting story coming to us from Pamela Geller. First report in the New York Post, Pamela's just kind of resending it out. A California high school teacher says she was aghast to learn she was placed on leave over comments she made about the National School Walkout Day. Julianne Benzel, a Rockland High School teacher, said that administrators' decision Wednesday followed a debate that she held in her history class about the nationwide school protests supporting gun control reform. She said that she never discouraged students from participating in the 17-minute walkout on Wednesday, but school administrators said they disagreed with her remarks. She said, I just kind of used the example, which I know it's really controversial, but I know it was the best example I thought of at the time. A group of students nationwide or even locally decided, I want to walk out of school for 17 minutes and go in the quad area and protest abortion. Would that be allowed by our administration? She told the news station. Well, and she stated that in class on a national walkout day. She received a letter from the Human Resource Department notifying that she was being put on paid administrative leave. She has since retained legal counsel, said that her school's decision has raised questions about her First Amendment rights. From FoxNews.com, some school counselors and officials were so concerned about the mental stability of Nicholas Cruz, accused in last month's Florida school massacre, that they decided to have him forcibly committed more than a year before the shooting. However, the recommendation was never acted upon. Documents in the criminal case against Cruz show that school officials at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and a sheriff's deputy recommended in September 2016 that Cruz be involuntarily committed for mental evaluation under Florida's Baker's Act for at least 3 days. However, that recommendation never was acted on. Alex Newman put forth an article last week from at the New American. As part of the ongoing plot to disarm the American people, a national astroturf movement of students organized and supported by the radical left and globalist billionaires is planning a walkout from schools, the so-called March for Our Lives movement, which has the backing of front groups for establishment billionaires like George Soros and Michael Bloomberg, intends to exploit traumatized children to advance further restrictions on gun rights in the Second Amendment following the school shooting in Parkland. One of the leaders of the phony grassroots movement urged college students to join the revolution. To join the revolution, and patriotic Americans and those concerned about children must expose the scam. March 24th, and again on April 20th, anti-gun students are planning marches, including at the nation's capital, all over the country. Establishment-owned newspapers are hyping the student, quote, and I put that in quotes, quote, student marches, while ignoring the pro-gun students who are speaking out. Authorities in some jurisdictions are even forcing teachers to participate in the protest, according to news reports. And a number of celebrities known for hostility to gun rights, well, they're also expected to attend. Troubling story, WND.com. When Turkey's semi-official newspaper called for an urgent action in forming a 57-nation army of Islam to besiege and attack Israel. Doesn't this sound like Ezekiel 38? But here they're calling for a 57-nation army of Islam to besiege and attack Israel, a suggestion undoubtedly approved with at least a wink and a nod by President Erdogan. It would have signaled the possible intent to create the largest military force on the planet, one nearly as large as the total population of the Jewish state. The report came just ahead of the summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, published under the headline, What If an Army of Islam Was Formed Against Israel? Translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute, but it was actually a suggestion to combine the military forces of all Islamic countries to overwhelm the Israeli army in manpower, budget, and equipment. The report suggested the formation of a Jerusalem task group to take steps to form an Islamic army that would besiege Israel. Isn't that amazing, folks? By the way, coming to us from Israel National News, a lawmaker from Hamas recently called for the massacre of Jews, explaining that the Quran indicates that this must be done. Doesn't that tell you, folks, we don't all worship the same God? In a televised address, the lawmaker also said that Jews must be forced to pay the jizya tax, which under the strict Islamic Sharia doctrine, non-Muslims living under Muslim sovereignty must pay in return for the ruler's protection. Jihadist rebels who have taken control of areas in Syria have opposed such a tax on Christian minorities. But they are saying that a lawmaker is saying that the Quran says we must massacre Jews. From Breaking Israel News as well, the Israel Defense Forces destroyed two underground terror structures in the Gaza Strip, one of which was an old terror tunnel that was being reconstructed by the Hamas terrorist organization. Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, CARE. Is there a link between these folks? Go back and listen to previous crosstalks. Using precise intel and new tech, IDF thwarted an attempt by Hamas to renew an old terror tunnel near Kerem Shalom, said Jonathan Kornrikas, the IDF's international spokesman, the head of social media, in a statement on Twitter. He also added that it was the fourth terror tunnel that's been destroyed by the Israeli Defense Forces since November. And The Hill is reporting that nuclear nonproliferation advocates are sounding the alarm about a potential nuclear energy deal between the Saudi Arabia and the United States, saying that the exceptions the kingdom is seeking could lead to nuclear proliferation in a volatile region. At issue is a deal that would allow the U.S. to sell nuclear reactors to Saudi Arabia. The Trump administration has already started negotiations, with Energy Secretary Rick Perry reportedly meeting with senior Saudi officials in London last month. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is visiting Washington next week and is sure to press President Trump on the issue. But comments that the Crown Prince made this week that Saudi Arabia would develop a nuclear bomb as soon as possible if Iran does are raising red flags for lawmakers who are already skeptical of the kingdom's intentions. Also, from the Washington Free Beacon, the United States is planning a $200 million military sale to Qatar. Despite recent revelations that the country funded a spy operation on American Jews and conducted hack attacks on U.S. citizens, according to multiple sources familiar with the effort who described the timing of the sale as spectacularly bad, the Trump administration has signed off on a new military deal with Qatar to provide it with $197 million in military technology to enhance and upgrade its air force, according to the State Department. The sale comes at a challenging time in U.S.-Qatar diplomatic relations, as lawmakers on Capitol Hill pursue an effort to launch a federal investigation into Al Jazeera, that's the Qatari-backed news outlet, following disclosures that the country funded this secret months-long spy operation American Jews on U.S. soil. And folks, if we got all these Islamic nations that are looking to gang up on little Israel, doesn't that question U.S. involvement with them? Here is a story also that has come out from Leo Holman, writes for various publications, indicating that South Africa's white farmers have their collective heads on the block following the vote by the country's parliament to expropriate their land without compensation. The plan's main proponent, Julius Malema of the Economic Freedom Fighters Party, says white farmers are criminals who must be driven off the land. That means extermination. Even the leftist Newsweek magazine takes a dim view of the future for the white farmers in the country that once was touted as, you know, being this great rainbow paradise. Newsweek story noted a Change.org petition of more than 18,000 signatures asking President Trump to accept white South Africa Christians in place of Somali Muslims and Middle Easterns who are difficult to vet and prone to non-assimilation. The president holds all the executive powers he needs and the legal cover to pull off a sweeping rescue mission of South Africa refugees, reports Leo Holman. Oh, a troubling story. Here's a headline. Muslim students want Florida student expelled. Why? For refusing to try on hijab during hijab day. Kathy Zhu, a 19-year-old student at the University of Central Florida, she was offered to try on hijab day, but she refused, posted a message on Twitter to criticize the initiative. After that, the Muslim organizer asked the university to expel her. What may not be necessarily predictable is that the young woman is not backing off, arguing against these thugs on Twitter. The university has since issued a message to indicate that the student would not be expelled. But isn't that something? He wanted to force her to wear a hijab on hijab day, and when she didn't, then we have the Muslim students groups that are calling for her to be expelled from college. We'll be back in just 1 minute with a few more stories. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Today, the hope that all believers on earth will be caught up to heaven is being challenged in new waves of criticism. Is the rapture actually taught in the Bible? Can we really expect Jesus to gather up his followers before the Antichrist is revealed? Will God pour out his wrath on believers? In the book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture?, authors Ed Heinzen and Mark Hitchcock examine the concept and the context of the rapture with a thorough defense for the event. They answer questions such as, what is the rapture? Is there any historical precedent for it? Why do some Christians object to the idea of a rapture? And does the timing of the rapture really make a difference? Is it imminent? The authors explore the scriptures on these important issues. Copies of Can We Still Believe in the Rapture are available for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Yeah, just expel the student. Won't wear a hijab. You know, that's an affront to us. That is something that shows that they're intolerant. Here we have another story, though. This one from Pamela Geller about what's going on in Germany. And here we have a rejected Afghani asylum seeker in Germany been arrested for murdering his girlfriend because she refused to convert to Islam. Do you see the trend here, folks? Do you see the trend? Do you hear the warnings that have come from Usama Dakdak and Chiram Hadian and John Guandolo and Chris Gobetz? You hear what's going on? Murdering his girlfriend because she refused to convert to Islam. They say he snapped in a row over this 18-year-old's refusal to wear a headscarf. She's one of several young women who's died at the hands of refugee men in the country, crimes which have helped fuel the rise of the far-right Alternative for Germany party. She was stabbed to death 1 week ago today. The Washington Free Beacon tells us that disabled veterans had to wait more than 2 months for the government to fix their wheelchairs, leading to some veterans confined to beds because of mismanagement at the VA, according to a new audit. The Inspector General for Veterans Affairs reported on problems at the VA medical facilities and the Southeast Network with its repair system for scooters and wheelchairs. One vet waited as long as 210 days, roughly 7 months, for his power wheelchair to be fixed. The audit revealed 40% of repair orders were delayed, taking an average of 69 days to complete. From LifeNews.com, pro-life advocates calling out the bias of a federal judge who struck down the Ohio non-discrimination law that bans abortions on unborn babies with Down syndrome. See, lawmakers passed a law saying you cannot target disabled children to kill. Well, a judge struck it down. U.S. District Judge Timothy Black issued a preliminary injunction against the law Wednesday, arguing that federal law is crystal clear that states may not prohibit abortions before viability. While the ruling drew widespread attention, few mainstream news outlets mentioned the fact that Black has very strong ties to Planned Parenthood, one of the groups challenging the law. Matter of fact, Black is a former director and president of the abortion chain Cincinnati affiliate. Pro-abortion. President Barack Obama appointed him to the bench. Shouldn't he have recused himself from this lawsuit? Let's move on to another story from Pregnancy Help News. Here's a lawsuit Planned Parenthood had filed against the life-saving group. The Stanton Healthcare was in the middle of a four-hour deposition in late January when lawyers from Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and the Hawaiian Islands confronted her with a group photo of eight mothers and their children that they'd rescued from abortions. The photo taken out the Planned Parenthood centers, which shares a parking lot with Stanton Healthcare, was intended to demonstrate that her group was guilty of harassing patients outside the abortion giant's doors. Well, she knew the moment she saw the picture as proof that Planned Parenthood had absolutely no case filing a frivolous lawsuit. So in a ruling March 13th, thankfully, this judge threw out that case. Most importantly, the judge's wholesale dismissal that included striking Planned Parenthood's demand for lawyer fees, even in the midst of a potential settlement, affirmed the contention that Stanton Healthcare is only there to offer women a viable alternative to abortion. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that abortion organizations received approximately $1.6 billion of U.S. taxpayer money from 2013 to 2015. That's according to a new government report. The Government Accountability Office examined federal funding for providers of preventative, reproductive, and diagnostic health care services in the U.S. or abroad. According to the report, during the fiscal year 2013 to 2015, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, gave away a total of roughly $27 billion in such funds. Some of that money funded abortion entities like International Planned Parenthood Federation, Planned Parenthood Federation of America as well. Some money also went to organizations like federally qualified health centers that don't commit abortion, but most of the $1.6 billion went to Planned Parenthood Federation of America. $1.6 billion in 3 years, U.S. taxpayers giving to abortion groups. Now, you no doubt have heard about the Toys R Us closing down across the United States, and they talk about the endless reasons for this big box toy store would collapse during a retail apocalypse, and Toys R Us acknowledged a number of them in their recent filings, reports the Washington Post. But do you know that U.S. births have fallen steadily since over the past many years? Matter of fact, as we know that we have put to death some 60 million children across this United States during Roe v. Wade, do you think that's affecting toy sales across the nation? Don't you think that that is having an impact on stores like Toys R Us? If we're killing all the children, guess what? There's no children to buy toys for. Let's open the phone lines today. If you have a question that or a statement you'd like to make on some of these stories here today or want to comment on other current event news, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Meanwhile, many of you have heard the news clips of Hillary Clinton and talking about issues pertaining to why she lost the election. Yes, she's still making excuses as to what happened. And now she went, as she was international, I believe she was in India, talking about white American women who listened to their husbands and their husbands forced them to vote for Trump. I mean, how far is she going to carry this, folks? And now she says, after there was such an uproar about that statement, now Hillary Clinton is sorry that you misunderstood her. Sorry that you misunderstood what she was saying. Oh, my. Let's go to the phone lines. We have East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, I want to thank you for all the good information that your station provides to us that we can share with others. And if it wouldn't be for Brother Ron Rhodes bringing up information about John Brennan, the CIA director, I wouldn't be able to share this with you today. But if I'm not mistaken, Ron Rhodes brought out the fact that John Brennan was actually a Muslim convert back in the 70s, and I'm wondering, would that be the reason why he's so upset with President Trump because of the restrictions of wanting to let violent Muslims come in here from other countries?
Yeah, and I know people like Sharam and Usama have spoken to that as well, how Brennan did convert to Islam and saying the Shahada and making that break to Islam. When you know what moral compass he's operating from, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And you got to wonder, what is his mode of operating when it comes to this issue? He obviously doesn't care about the Constitution and upholding the rule of law, just trying to make the president look bad. I think we've been blessed to have VCY to give us all this good information, and I hope we keep putting it to use.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mark in Monroe. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just want to say, comparing your news roundup to what I listened to Chuck Todd's Meet the Press Sunday, and again, this is my opinion, but he includes a diabolic liberal panel in order to manipulate a negative narrative towards Donald Trump, no matter what the issue might pertain to. For instance, he criticized Trump for calling people names, but I don't seem to recall any repercussion to Hillary referring to the deplorable when it comes to name calling. That's my opinion.
Well, and a very valid one at that. It depends. There's two different standards. And I believe the Media Research Center did a survey, Mark, and looked at the number of stories coming out in reference to the president. Some 90% taking a negative position against the president, coming with a negative slant. Against Donald Trump.
Yeah, and again, Yeah, I've been watching very closely, and again, I understand PBS is nothing more than, you know, the Ford Foundation and what I would call, you know, cut to the chase, all global background here, and I can see the manipulation is just absolutely incredible.
Thanks for the call here, Mark.
Thank you.
A reminder to Illinois listeners, you've got a primary tomorrow, and certainly be informed on the issues you're voting on, some great implications for the state of Illinois. Here in our city of Milwaukee, we're having an emergency pastors meeting tomorrow morning, whereas we have lawmakers in the city of Milwaukee that is trying to impose a ban on what they call conversion therapy, making it against the law, punishable by fine or imprisonment, those who would counsel a person under the age of 18 to leave the homosexual lifestyle. Amazing. Pastors meeting here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock dealing with this issue. And also we'll be addressing this on TV tonight at 7 o'clock. Let's go to Jefferson, Wisconsin. And James, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about the Toys R Us closing.
Yeah.
So what you were just talking about with Toys R Us closing, and you were kind of alluding to the idea that a lot of it's caused by abortions and the killing of babies. And my question is, don't you think that there's probably a bigger link between the rise in online shopping? I mean, I'm a father of two, about to be three, and I very rarely shop at Toys R Us. I primarily shop online because the prices just seem to be better.
Well, there definitely is that whole issue of the Amazon syndrome has impacted this, James, no question. But what's interesting is when you there are two charts that are made up. I don't have the chart before me right now that measures the birth rate in America and then measures the retail chain sales. And it there is a interesting symmetry between the narrowing down of the birth rate in the United States and the number of toys that are no longer being sold. I mean, if all of a sudden we have this great market of some 60 million children since 1973 that we're not buying toys for, I believe that also would have an impact.
I definitely agree with that idea, but then I feel like the birth rate would probably be dropping more just because with the economy going down and with my generation, I mean, I'm 25, with my generation not really having the ability, you know, as a whole to support children, I feel like that would have more of an impact on the child birth rate going down than anything else, really.
Well, James, we've lost 60 million kids by means of abortion since 1973. That's a fact. 60 million. So, and yes, there are families that are choosing not to have children and say, well, we can't support children. And there's choices that every couple is making in regard to that end. And for some, they will sacrifice to say we're going to, be fruitful and multiply, as God had said in His Word. And others who are making other decisions, you know, that there are various decisions that are being made in that regard. There are less people getting married today as well, and that impacts mm-hmm. this. But when all of a sudden you lose the lives of that many children, there's not a need for toys for dead babies.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Lat in Racine. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just want to make comments. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, presents, just like we have, when we sell a Harley or we sell a car and it goes over the Bahamas and you pay five times for the product and that's why the people can't afford it, he's doing the right thing by putting the taxes so we can start making American steel and stop this garbage coming over here from China. And one more comment I want to make is, you know, he keeps saying we got to drain the swamp, but the only way he drained the swamp is he'd have to get rid of most of his Republican people, almost all the Democrats, and the only one left sitting there would be Donald Trump because there'd be nobody left in the swamp.
Okay, thank you, Lat, for your comments. We're going to take a quick break and be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewtimes.com. Well, sadly, major pastors out there in America, like Matt Chandler, president of Acts 29, who's planting churches all across America, are promoting the communist Marxist propaganda talking points when it comes to white privilege. We have undercover video from the 15th annual White Privilege Conference in Madison, Wisconsin. The instructors are saying that if you're a capitalist, if you're a Christian, if you hold to Christian values, that's white privilege and that's racism. Well, white privilege is a lie, and we can prove it at many levels. A Pew Research study in 2015 unveiled some very important findings. Did you know that Indians from India and Asians are making far more money than white Americans? The report showed that the median annual household income and households headed by Asian Americans is $73,000 compared with $53,600 among all U.S. households. Clearly, there is no such thing as white privilege.
The news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and the other news, of course, over the weekend, Vladimir Putin won another six-year term, president of Russia, the biggest victory yet in his fourth presidential election campaign. Very interesting indeed. Back to the phone lines. Diana is calling next. Hi, Diana, you're on the air.
Hi. My question was, wouldn't you think that with all these nations that hate Israel and hate Christians and hate the Bible, they don't believe in the Bible, okay? So they're doing everything they can to make prophecy come true even faster by just trying to destroy Israel. I mean, that's kind of counterproductive for them, wouldn't it be?
Well, in the end, yes. In the end, yes. But they don't recognize that, Diana. Their minds certainly are blinded by the God of this world.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye. Prince of the power of the air. Chris, you're next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Jim, I've been listening to your program, and I was led to read some scripture, if that's okay, out of the book of Revelations. This is a challenge to those listeners out there that don't know Jesus as Savior. And simply by faith and trusting in his finished work at the cross, you too can have eternal life and be forgiven. I want to read Revelation 20 and 11 and some verses following. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, and them which are in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. God forbid.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. Thank you. That's the time of the great white throne judgment coming ahead. Trust Jesus as your Savior, folks. We encourage you to do that. Today is the day of acceptance. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. With regard to this thing that the city of Milwaukee is doing and the counselors and the unwanted sex attractions for someone under 18,
yeah.
I haven't heard anybody say anything, they might have, about it being none of the city's business because of doctor-patient confidentiality. That would be between the person who's under 18 and their parents and the doctor and nobody else. And for the city to do this and to enforce it, they'd have to violate the law.
Why don't the words pro-choice apply?
True.
Let people make their decision on this. It's just amazing. It's very much a double standard. But you're right, Brad. The government has no business making such a law.
Yeah, and if it was the other way around, somebody said, "Hey, I'm heterosexual and I don't want to be one," they'd pave the way for them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Thank you.
Hope you can catch
the program this evening.
Okay.
We have our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Al in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about what Brad was just saying and about how you mentioned about, outlawing the transgender therapy. I call up my alderman on the Monday after you had this on the air, and the staffer told me there I was the second constituent that called opposing this out of 44,000. I mean, granted, they're not all of voting age. But something more interesting that he told me that they have had a lot of calls out of state that were opposed to, what the Common Council is, trying to propose. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Wow. Thank you, Al. Appreciate your call here on that issue. It's a very critical matter that's facing the city of Milwaukee at this time. And certainly they are, you know, looking at other states that have done this, and they're saying, hey, we need to bring it to the city of Milwaukee. Common Council looks like they'll be voting on it tomorrow. I'd say a week from tomorrow. Tomorrow we're having a pastor's meeting on it. Lord willing, next week on Crosstalk, we're going to be having a former transgender on the broadcast. That's quite a testimony you need to hear. Let's go to Kansas. Ron, you're on the air. Hello, Ron. Ron, you're on the air. Okay, I guess we don't have Ron here with us. Let's go then to Richard, calling from Idaho. You're on the air, Richard.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment on the $60 million number that you're using for children lost.
Yes.
We need to also factor into that. A lot of those people were back in the 70s and 80s, and by now they would have had children and grandchildren. So $60 million seems like a big number, but it should actually be a much bigger number when you factor in the children and grandchildren that never were.
You're right. You're right. And also all the chemical abortions, Richard, that we don't know about as well. So, yeah, that number is really much higher than the $60
million. Yes, sir.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention here today on the broadcast. Yeah, very troubling. And folks, just when you go to the website, numberofabortions.com, and you see that ticker that is constantly moving upward. U.S. since 1973, Roe v. Wade, 60,271,599 abortions that have taken place. Okay, let's go next to Hans calling from Kansas. Hans, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just got one question, boss. Coming back from Vietnam, all we had left to do was just shine our shoes. And I'm just thinking about all the rest of the people in the military. If I were the president, if I were legally allowed to do so, I would give my troops something to do until we got the wall up, and I'd place different stations across the border and let them serve the country like they want to.
Different,
can the president do that?
Put different stations?
Yeah, you know, you place United States Army, United States Marine Corps, how they go out on all their activities.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have them guard the border? Instead of waiting for this big wall to come up, we could have and give our troops something to do, make a smile on their face.
Well, thank you for that thought there, Hans. You know, we do have Border Patrol agents, of which a lot of their work was decimated by the former president here across this land. And that's one of the things that have been restored. But to put somebody over every inch of territory, that would be certainly a role of a border wall to help deter that from going on. But thank you for sharing your thoughts on the broadcast. We are out of time here today on the program. Lord willing, Peter LaBarbera with us tomorrow on the broadcast, talking about many things that are happening within a very aggressive LGBT agenda across this land. We hope you'll be able to join us. Thanks so much for tuning in. We trust that you'll have a blessed day in the Lord. And tell a friend about Crosstalk, about the information that you learn and glean from this broadcast, keeping you informed on the vital issues that are impacting us across this nation. God bless you.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.
tough on drug dealers. It's going to eliminate the opioid crisis. Speaking in Manchester, New Hampshire this past hour, the president discussed his administration's three-part plan.
We will not rest until we end